This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Got some lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And you want to talk about the app debacle in Iowa? Happy to chat about that. It was not a coding error. It was a process error. It was a business function error. It was just ridiculous what happened out there. They did not get the app authorized on the Apple stores and expected pure novices to figure out how to circumvent Apple security to get the app loaded. And of course, they could not do that. Of course they could not do that. That's why they're Apple. Just kidding. Just kidding. Apple markets on its ease of use. But just try to defeat the ease of use. Forget it. So they did not get the app certified on the Apple stores. And they had to just jury rig its installation off of a website. And you wonder why it didn't work. You wonder why.
You know what? I can't believe somebody somewhere said, hey, this isn't going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you think about the problems you get in, you had so many people that had to load this app.
Right.
And they were all having troubles.
Right.
I mean, nobody threw up a red flag. Come on.
Oh, I'm sure they did. But they just kept muddling
ignoring
through.
It.
Well, isn't that, that's again, my reasoning for we have to start hiring folks in our legislature who have some idea of technology. You just can't keep putting in folks who don't know what's going on.
Next thing you know, you're
going
to ask to have doctors become legislators so that they can write good
medical
care bills.
That would make sense to me. That would make sense to me.
I mean, come on, common sense?
I know.
It's non-existent today, especially in politics.
So we'll move on to Mark in Torrington. What's going on, Mark?
Oh, hey, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good, trying to keep the dog quiet.
All right.
Hey, so I heard that woman before with the HP laptop, and that's a very familiar story that I've heard before. And I was in IT for many years, and we had HP computers,
yeah.
Business class laptops.
Sure.
I never had any kind of problems like I've had in the consumer world.
Right.
At least two different laptops my children had. One died because the CPU pipe that was supposed to cool it got all jammed up. I had to send it and fix it for a while. It died again, then the Wi-Fi died. My son had a HP. The Wi-Fi died on it. Yeah. My daughter bought a newer one, an Elite, and it doesn't. It was one of the thin ones that doesn't have
a fan.
CD. And that, that died too.
Oh, boy.
So are they putting inferior motherboards or different? In those that are different than the business class?
Yes. They are. So you're going to have a different class of machine in the consumer grade versus the business grade. Yes, you are. That's why it costs more for the business machine. However, I've had good luck with the consumer grade with my kids for their college laptops. Sometimes it's how the kids use it. Like if you know when I saw my kids using the laptop on their bed, the laptop doesn't like to be on a bed, right?
Yeah, it's blocking everything. Yeah,
exactly. So that kind of stuff. When my son didn't charge it. And I had to drive all the way up to UConn because he said, "Dad, it's dead." Well, yeah, of course it is because he didn't charge it. You can't be running around on 10% battery and expect it to do what it needs to do. So sometimes it's user error. But in general, we've had good luck with the HP brand. But you can almost say this about all brands. Whatever brand you choose, you could have a bad run, right? Just bad luck. And there's nothing wrong with you saying, "I'll never buy another one." That's fine with you. There's other ones out there to try, right? But they do have different quality.
I wouldn't say that I wouldn't buy one. As a matter of fact, once I got done with business, I'm retired now. I've always done some things on my own.
Yeah.
In terms of Linux and so forth, but I embraced Apple. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, my iMac died twice. In the first year, the power supply went.
Mm-hmm.
I had to bring it in for that, and I had the extended warranty too.
Yeah.
And now the latest thing is it's 7 years old, maybe mm-hmm. 8 years old at this point. I try to do the latest update. I can't go to the newest Mac OS, but I try to do the latest update, just mm-hmm. a regular security update.
Yep.
Thing died. It keeps coming up with the same error. Now I have to bring it to the Genius Bar or spend money on a phone call. So that's not always the answer either. Apple.
Well, exactly. At 8 years old, also, it owes you nothing. You know. However, the fact that you paid for an Apple, you paid for probably two regular IBM machines, and that's part of the problem that I see with Apple is the high, high price.
They are. I paid $1,600 for it. I got the better CPU and a terabyte hard drive at the time and everything. But
ironically, they're still the guts are the same guts you put in a PC.
Yep.
So that Apple logo is quite expensive. I don't know that I would spend any money to get it repaired at 8 years. I would tell you, if you like Apple, get the next one. You're going to have to save up a bit.
Well, I put that out of my mind. I bought a new AS Rock board for my old case, and I put one together, and it works fine.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Nice.
So, but thank you for your answer. I appreciate it.
All right, Mark. Good luck, sir.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, any device is going to fail. Yeah, it's just designed for it. We got Paul and Sharon wants to talk about government chargers. Hey, Paul.
Good morning. That whole thing reminded me of a conversation I had with my grandfather many, many, many years ago. We stopped into a gas station to fill up the truck. My family had a small contracting business.
Yeah.
And I'm filling up the truck and my grandfather goes, boy, he said to me, he says, you have no idea how lucky you are. So what do you mean? He goes, when I first started out in business in the early part of the 20th century,
mm-hmm.
he said, we always carried four or five gas cans with us. And when you stopped for gas, you filled them up.
Right, because you couldn't hope there'd be another gas station.
Bingo.
Right.
Fast forward to electric cars.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, boys and girls? It's called responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what I'm sorry, it's her politics. The government has a solution to everything and so on and so forth.
I know.
Hopefully it will go nowhere. But, to sit and say, hey, that's a great idea. We should have all these, especially, let's take the state of Connecticut. Supposedly one of the reasons we need tolls is the electric cars are killing the gas tax.
I know.
And they're like, what, less than 1% of the total number of registered vehicles?
Less than that.
Yeah, it's probably less than that. Yeah, no, I know. It's cuckoo crazy. Yeah. Well, of course, now I guess if you have an electric car, you could bring some spare batteries with you. Drag them in a wagon behind you.
I read somewhere on the internet that as long as your laptop's fully charged, that you can plug your laptop into the car and run the car off your laptop.
Well, that might be for maybe 40 feet.
I remember the site. It was the Babylon Bee.
Oh, there we go. There it is. Yeah, that's like the onion. Yeah, take it easy, Paul. Run your car off your laptop. Heck, I mean, here in Connecticut, where they want to do tolls, I mean, for some pittance amount of money. I mean, they could bring back the luxury tax on rotisserie chickens and get the same amount of money that you're going to get in tolls, you know? I mean, actually, that tax is still existing. They just choose not to enforce it.
Oh, my God.
Can't make it up. Let's go to Jim in Plainville. Hey, Jim.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I'm looking to buy a new laptop.
All right.
And when I look at these on my old one here, and they say they have an Intel Core i5 or i7, mm-hmm. I don't know what's good. Okay, memory 12 gigabytes looks good.
Yeah.
I don't know what a 16 gigabyte Optane is.
Ooh, yeah, that's really nice. That's a little extra extra memory juice for your system to run even faster.
Oh, okay, then that's what I want. But is 16 then the best thing to get, or 8 gigabytes? Or
well, what are you going to do with the machine, Jim? Really, that's where it all starts.
Mostly, it's on my desk. I run QuickBooks for a couple more months that I'm retiring.
Yeah.
And my Quicken, I go to my bank,
yep.
Pay some bills. I look up parts or something like that to purchase on the internet.
Yeah.
And I read the news.
Okay. So Optane is, even the Optane memory is probably more than overkill for you. So an i5 will do fine for you. 8 gigs of RAM will be fine. If you want to go 12, that's fine. And then maybe a solid state drive, 256 or 512 solid state drive. Those are the things that I would focus on for you based on what you said you're using the machine for.
Well, that sounds about right. I just don't want it to slow down on me. I use it here at home.
Yep, it won't.
I take it to my summer place where it's slow anyway because it's just satellite.
Right.
They call it high speed, but I call it high speed telephone.
Exactly, yeah. So, no, it won't slow down. The solid state will be a huge improvement, and the RAM is plenty, and i5 is plenty for what you described you were doing with it.
All right. Is there a particular brand? I see HP, I see Dell, I see something called ASUS. I don't know
Asus.
What that is.
Asus is a good motherboard brand, but we're for what we do in our practice, we have very good luck with HP business laptops, and I've had good luck personally with their Envy line of consumer laptops. So that's our recommendation.
Okay, well, I appreciate it very much, and I do enjoy your show every week.
Thanks, Jim, very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, yep, bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. We have four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And as we wait for some of your calls, I'm hearing that the solar incentives are going to be going away soon, and you got to buy now before the subsidy goes away because they're going to get more expensive.
Well, then the price will go down.
Exactly. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Solar incentives are going to go away, and people aren't buying that now. And so they're going to raise the price of solar, and that'll do what? You're going to sell even less solar. So what are you going to do? You're going to lower your price. So anything subsidized by the government goes up in price. And when the subsidy is removed, it'll go down. So frankly, if you're thinking about it, I'd rather tell you to wait until it goes away so you see the actual price of solar to see if you actually work out well for you. Let's go on to Greg in Naugatuck. Hey, Greg, what's up?
Good morning. Good
morning.
I have a question about a modem. I remember a long time ago when the computers literally just started, and I understand analog versus digital.
Uh-huh.
But with the world today, everything is digital, including the TV transmission, everything.
Yeah.
So the fact that we still have a modem and routers and everything, does that mean that the signal is still produced analog?
No.
And then it still does have to be changed into digital?
I don't think so. I think it's all digital from the transmission now, right from the cameras. Like the football game is going to be taken in 1080p, all digital, and transmitted digitally. No more analog.
Right, right. So why do we even hear the name modem today?
It's a misnomer. People call a device a modem, even though it's not technically a modem, because modem stands for modulator, demodulator.
Right. Right.
And they were converting analog to digital so your computer could understand it through sounds.
Yeah, they were making sounds. That squawk you heard was the talking of the conversion of the taking it from digital to
So they're not doing that anymore.
Digital. Right.
So, but they call it a modem because people got to know what it meant.
Right. So, we could call it a flux capacitor if that makes you happier.
Well, I wouldn't know what the heck that is, but anyway. So I know then, you know, that I have in my house a combination modem router.
Right.
I understand a router just spreads it around, you know.
Yep.
But why do they still call it a modem and router combination?
Well, because it is. So you're taking the input of the internet. It's not doing the modem that you know. It's not translating the way Bob talked about in the old days. But it's still connecting in, accepting the signal, then getting it to the router so it can be handed out through DHCP and then distributed through your network. So you do need the function of what the modem is doing, but it's not doing what it was doing in the old days. It's taking a digital
signal. Technically, you could just call it a router, and you'd be correct, because really all it's doing is routing. They call it a modem because the signal coming in from, let's say, the cable is different than the signal coming in from phone line or fiber. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like it's an entry point. So it is kind of converting whatever method of connection you have to then get it to Cat 5 over to your router or Cat 6 over to your router. But you're collect.
I do appreciate it.
All right,
great
Greg.
Show.
Thanks.
Keep it up, please.
All right, we will. I would recommend always looking at a separate device like a modem and separate router so that you can manage your connection more specifically.
Right. So the cable company doesn't break you when it does a firmware update.
Exactly. Feel free to get online, guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to go to Mark and see what he's got cooking. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good, Mark. How are you?
Lousy.
Oh, boy. What's going on?
So I called you. I got a printer problem with...
Are you the guy in East Hartford?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It didn't work. That printer wasn't, I guess it wasn't supported.
Right. So what do you got? What did you do? Did you throw away the old printer finally and get a new one?
No, I kept it in case as a backup, but I have a printer that's, I looked it up, it's Windows 10 compatible.
All right.
So I put it on the computer, hooked it up, you know, and went through the steps.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the last step was to try it, and it's not accepting the cartridge. The cartridge I put in there is brand new.
Is it from the manufacturer?
Yeah, it's from where I always buy my cartridges at Best Buy.
Yeah, but so
all the other times when they, you know, when they go bad, you just replace them.
Mm-hmm.
And they run out of ink, you replace them. The drill.
So I've seen
this was this. It said it was low on ink or something like that. You know, the message you get on your computer screen from the printer.
Yeah.
That you can't print because it's out of ink. Out of ink.
Yeah.
So I went to the Best Buy. They had it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you spend $23, you put it in.
Yeah.
And the manufacturer calls for it. It's got the right model number. You put it in, and now you know what it's telling me?
No.
It's not you have incompatible cartridge. It's not accepting that cartridge.
Oh boy. You have bad luck.
Yes. So help me. I mean,
you may need a firmware update on your printer.
How old is this printer, Mark?
It's at least 5-6 years, but it says that it's Windows 10 compatible.
That's fine.
It should work, but
It's not. So let's just go with the logic. It should work, but it's not. So we're thinking, and Bob's...
You want the model number? I've got
nope.
The model number.
Don't want to know. What we would tell you, though, is like Bob's considering that the firmware, the hardware, the software on the hardware is old. You haven't used it in a long time, right? And it could...
On that printer. That printer, I bought it used, but it worked.
I hear you.
The guy who told me that.
I know.
I trust him.
I believe you. But now the new cartridge is expecting, the printer's expecting something, and it's not getting what it's expecting, right? So maybe the printer firmware needs to be updated to accept this cartridge.
Okay, so it's just not a, they told me to clean the...
You could clean the nozzles and all that, but that's not what your error is saying. Your error is saying it's not a compatible cartridge.
You put in
exactly, when in fact it is.
I believe you.
Model number and the right, number on the cartridge for that printer.
We believe you.
Right, model number, serial number, everything.
There's a chip on the cartridge that has a number on it.
Right.
And the printer is reading the number, but
okay,
the number...
Wait. I did. You know, I didn't take the paper off. On the cartridge, when you take it out of the box, it's got a paper film that you're supposed to take off. I put that in. Could that have done it?
Yeah.
And I took it out, and I took the paper off, put the new cartridge in.
Yeah. Well, that could have done it. That could have caused issues because you didn't actually put the ink in. But what Bob's trying to say is that if the printer doesn't see that cartridge as the right cartridge, it might be because the printer is its operating system is too old to know the new cartridge. That's the only logical thing we can come up with for that error specifically in your case. All right, so you have to upgrade the firmware on the printer. And I don't think you want to spend the time doing that considering all the fun you have with the old brother printer. I think for you and printers, you need a fresh, no-used, right-out-of-the-box printer that will work for you, Mark. Or just don't print.
So you've already spent more money than you would have spent if you just bought a new one.
That's awful.
A low-end.
A low-end, brand-new printer. But upgrading the firmware, we can put a link up there. What's the model?
Yeah. Explain to me briefly how do you do that. You got to download. It's like downloading some drivers.
It's like downloading drivers, but it's not. You have to download a utility that'll update the printer. So, what's the model of the printer, Mark?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
HP. Let's start over again. HP NVENVY number 5530.
So we'll see if there's a update to that firmware that we can list the instructions for you to follow and or a video that'll show that for you, Mark. Because and if this doesn't work, Mark, I'm going to tell you right now, just get a new printer.
Yeah,
that will work because these used things are not working well for you.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why somebody sold it.
Yeah. So we'll put that out there for you, Mark, and see if that works. If it doesn't, don't keep buying ink cartridges for this thing. You're going to go broke.
No. Yeah, I know. Exactly. I didn't think there were. I used to do that on a cheaper printer. It's the same deal. What it is, it's the cheap printers. They only last a couple of weeks, depending on if your kids or your wife uses it or you use it a lot. And forget it. You got to go get another cartridge.
Yeah, get a nice color. Get a $300 color laser, and that'll probably solve your problem. But we got to go, Mark. Hope that helps you. We got the link going up there for you. Okay, sir?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's frustrating. Marcus had no good luck with printers, period. Because he's got all these old machines that he keeps trying to get working, and it's just sometimes not worth it. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything's been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com by Mike G. He's working feverishly, Mike, over there, posting this stuff for you guys so you have it and you don't need to go searching around. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We are here till 11, and the lines are wide open on this lovely Saturday morning. Maybe it is beautiful outside. I understand. We completely do. But if you want to start talking about our kids, you need to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out. Now, we did a little more research on Mark's issue. We found that the current version of that printer is $60, the current version. So he's already spending $40-$50 on ink. The printer itself is $60. So the used one that's 6 or 7 years old is not worth any time or energy. However, there is a new firmware out. We were right. I mean, it's out. The new firmware came out in October or something like that of this year for that particular printer model. So if you are lucky enough, Mark, to get that update to work for you, your $60 printer just might accept the ink.
October 22nd.
Yeah, but don't kill yourself trying to get it going. I mean, if it's a $60 printer, it's equivalent right now is $60. So don't spend too much energy on it. So as we wait for your calls, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, Bob wanted to bring up something in the news here.
Okay. So if you get exposed to radiation.
It's bad.
Maybe you want to get like a little darker tan.
Yeah.
So a fungi found in Chernobyl feeds on radiation.
Yeah, I read
could
this.
Could protect astronauts. The organism could be used to protect humans and equipment on the International Space Station.
We're going to cover it in a fungus.
The scientists have discovered that a strand of fungi in the Chernobyl nuclear power plant feeds on radiation, according to a Thursday report by Express.
Yeah.
The fungi was first found at Chernobyl in 1991, 5 years after the nuclear reactor exploded.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But scientists have recently found that its properties could help people protect help protect people from radiation. The fungi is called Cryptococcus neoformans, and it's well known to science, having been described in the 1890s. It can be a nasty microorganism for humans if it gets into those with compromised immune systems, resulting in infection known as cryptococcosis.
That sounds bad.
Turns out it may be also be beneficial for humans, particularly in space. The fungi contains high levels of melanin, a pigment that turns skin darker.
Right.
That melanin absorbs radiation and turns it into chemical energy.
Unbelievable.
Similar to how plants turn carbon dioxide and chlorophyll into oxygen and glucose through photosynthesis.
Yeah.
According to a study first published in 2007, this process is dubbed radiosynthesis.
Very cool.
Melanin absorption is an intriguing property that could be used to protect astronauts in space. And there's more on this.
So it's like we're going to put up a thatched roof on our space station covered in fungus.
Well, it's a natural cure.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's really cool. I did read that. And I was like, wow, something positive.
So we'll put a little link up to that.
Yeah, very good. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Gary in Bloomfield first. Good morning, Gary.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Back, I think in December, I called you because I wasn't able to open up Word in Excel.
All right.
And you tried to run me through a repair function, and the repair didn't pop up. And last thing we left was, I might end up, if I don't have the disks, maybe having to go in and purchase, it was a 2019.
Oh, yeah.
What I realized I had when I was went into the McAfee store, I was trying to see if there was something there, because I don't have the disk. I had a credit card size with a long number on the back, and you key that in.
Yeah.
And, of course, when I tried it, it said it was used already. And then I was just about ready to buy, and I realized I still had the executable from when I first bought the machine a few years ago.
Sure.
So I reran the executable, and it kept coming up asking me for, the original email and password, and I put that in. It wasn't like it, and I was almost frustrated enough to go out and buy it.
Yep.
I X'd out, clicked on Word, clicked on Excel, both open, and been running fine since.
Ah, so the executable did work. It did reload the or fix the corrupt files for you without having to actually fully put in the registration key.
If that's what happened.
Yeah. Well,
the question is, did it reinstall it
enough
to activate it or keep the activation that was in there, or was it did it put it in as a trial, which would be good for 30 days, and then it stops working?
I think I've been using it now for maybe 45 or 50 days.
Okay, you might be okay.
So you may be okay.
Yeah, so you're able to reinstall enough to fix whatever corruption was causing those programs to not operate. So you kind of were successful.
Yeah. Now, one thing I did do, because I still had my old XP machine, so I was using that for Word and Excel in the meantime, and one of the files I opened was my calendar file, and when I first opened it on the XP machine, it said, this file caused a serious issue the last time it was saved, which would have been on the current 8.1 machine, so I'm assuming that may be what caused me to lose access to Word and Excel in the first place.
Maybe.
But everything's back up and working in that regard, so I just thought I'd give you guys a call on that.
Good.
Let you know.
Awesome.
And I do have one other question on Firewall.
Yep.
Maybe once a week I get a drop-down box that says your firewall is down, either accept the risk or fix. And I'll turn around and I'll click, fix it. And I'm wondering, because it seems to be coming down under a McAfee header, is that because the McAfee subscription has expired and I need to uninstall McAfee and then go into and set up the Windows firewall?
It could be. It could be if you're not paying for McAfee, they're trying to give you a little nag there to try to get you to buy it.
Well, the McAfee firewall more than likely disabled the Windows firewall.
It did, but they probably have their own.
Right.
And then if you haven't paid for it, they're going to want it. So your theory sounds sound to me. I would uninstall the McAfee and turn on the Windows firewall if you'd like. Obviously, if you have a router, you have a physical firewall already.
I don't have a router. I'm hardwired in. All I have is a modem.
Really? Well, just one computer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the other one, the XP machine, I use it more as a backup in case my wife is using this one downstairs.
Okay.
Or I plug it into the TV set and I use it as a DVD player.
All right. So you use no other devices on the network that require IP addresses? Okay.
Nope. Just the one primary PC and that's it.
So you definitely want a Windows firewall. You want some firewall running if you have no physical firewall. So, yeah, or you could buy McAfee again if you want to.
Well, I listening to your shows, and you've been talking about WebRoot, so I was thinking I was going to go out and buy that and put that on.
That makes sense to me. And then turn on the Windows firewall, and you'll be just as good.
Okay. And once I delete the McAfee, how do I know if it has completely cleaned up that I have to go out and get that utility or whatever it is?
The uninstaller. Well, if you go to Add Remove Programs and you remove it and it doesn't show up, that's how you'd know. If it's no longer in that list, if it keeps showing up, then you need the uninstaller program.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, good luck.
Have a good one.
You too, Gary. Bye. Bye-bye. All right. That's rare to have somebody who just connects right to a modem with no other devices on the network. That's really rare.
I don't think it's that rare.
You don't?
I don't think it's rare at all.
I got like 20 systems in my network connecting up now. That's crazy. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you know better. But a lot of people...
What are you saying?
They just go with what the cable company gives them. And the cable company tells them that they'll be fine. So we both know that's kind of like rolling the dice.
It is. I wanted to report on my next garage door opener. So I think I told you guys, I've got like my garage door openers are like 15, 20 years old easily. So they're really dumb. And I got... They work without firmware updates, Joey. But I got this NEXX, I think it's called. I'm waiting for my phone to open up. And I put one on both garage door openers. And it works beautifully. You can use an app, no monthly cost to open and close your garage doors. And it's nice because I know if my garage door is closed and I'm upstairs, I don't have to get down. I don't know. I've got this weird thing always checking. Right? Don't you hate not knowing if it's open?
It must be tough to live in a house that big.
It's not that big. It's just I'm upstairs and I don't want to go back downstairs to see if the garage door's closed or not. Because with kids, they would just do one thing. Open it.
It's like the fridge. We just open it.
Yeah. And I just don't like to go to bed knowing the garage door is wide open. It's just me.
Well, I've had a little issue with my garage door open with the wiring.
Uh-huh.
You know, the little safety things that indicate if something's there?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been having a little issue with that. And it turns out the little rodents that come in to get out of the cold have been chewing through the wiring.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Do you have any kind of smart garage door there, Joey?
I have old school barn door garage doors. So I got to manually go over and open them up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So they don't break down. It's great.
Yeah, no.
When I lose power, they still open.
Yeah, good point. Well, this next app is pretty cool. I highly recommend it. And
I did get two smart outlets for Christmas, though.
Smart outlets, okay.
Yeah, one of them controls my Christmas lights.
That's nice.
That's just amazing. The other one, because I'm that type of evil dad, controls my internet switch.
Oh, wow, you use it that way.
So when the kids will not get off the internet, I'm like, 3, 2, click.
Well, the beauty of the new router I got is you can actually turn off their devices specifically.
Well, here's the thing, because, so William's playing video games on one computer.
Yeah.
James is playing video games on another computer.
Yeah.
Christopher is playing the Xbox in the living room.
Right.
So I'm on four different devices at that point.
Yep.
So I just kill the whole switch.
Well, yeah, then you lose, though, too.
No, I still have Wi-Fi.
Well, yes, because of your crazy T-Mobile deal.
Because my switch is connected to the back of the router. So my Wi-Fi coming off the wireless router is still good, but everything that's hard-lined...
That's harsh.
...dies.
That's harsh.
So I'm like, yeah, you guys are done.
That's harsh, Joey. I like it.
So I can just yell, A-word, kill the internet, and it's gone.
A-word. Very nice. All right, let's get back to your... Well, let's step out for a quick break, and then we'll get back to Steve in Plainville. And we got a couple lines open for you if you want to get in before the top of the hour. If you've got any home automation you want to talk about, feel free. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. we are back. So yeah, the app is the Nex, N-E-X-X. You can turn your garage door opener into a smart garage door opener. Again, all these kids out there, they're out there running around. You see them on your Ring doorbells. You see them on your cams. They're breaking into cars. They're stealing things. They get arrested, and 5 seconds later, they're released. You know, they can do Grand Theft Auto, and it doesn't matter anymore these days. So, yeah, I want to close my garage door. I mean, the cops are telling you to stop leaving your stuff out and leaving your stuff open, and then because these kids are just doing their thing. So, yeah, I want my garage door closed. If they were to arrest the kids and lock them up a little longer, maybe they'd stop doing it. But that's a whole other problem. I know that's harsh to say, but that might stop the problem, for crying out loud. Let's go to Steve in Plainville next. Hey, Steve.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a small thermal label printer that I use for shipping labels.
Okay.
Had no issues with it when I was running Windows 7.
Uh-huh.
Changed to 10. Won't work. Went through the shipping company's troubleshooting guide, tried everything under the sun.
Yep.
Still can't get it to recognize this printer.
Right. It's on the same computer. Nothing changed but the operating system.
That's all I changed.
Yep. And there's no Windows 10 drivers for it, I suspect?
That's what I'm starting to think. It used to be Java. I used to have to update Java constantly.
Java, okay.
To keep it going. And now I don't get any of those updates because what I'm reading is Java is not supported under Windows 10.
Is it a Zebra printer?
Is it a what?
Zebra printer.
Yes, it is.
Okay, what model?
I'm sorry, I'm not sitting in front of it, but I mean, I see them everywhere. It's the most common one.
Yeah, but they make a lot of different models. So
they really do. I know they do.
I can't find you a driver if I don't know what the model number is.
And I'm looking here, too. You can enable Java through the control panel through Windows 10.
I can.
You can. And we'll put a link up here. It's a Java link.
Okay.
Java's not very secure.
Yeah.
But if you need it to run this printer, you might need this link to turn on the Java support. That might be part of your problem, too.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, but I'm not totally convinced either.
Right. So there's two things to try. See if you can enable Java, because you always needed it before, and see if there's a Windows 10 driver for that particular model of printer. I'm surprised the company you spoke with didn't talk about these things at all. What did they talk about doing?
None of that.
What was their angle? Just curious. Were they trying to sell you a new printer?
No.
Oh.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's the largest shipping company in the world. And
okay.
Or maybe the second largest, and that it never said anything about Java. I just got that from reading forums and things online.
Yeah, so if you can't get the right driver for the printer, then you're going to end up having to buy a new thermal printer, which is ridiculous, I know, because all you did was change your operating system.
Yeah.
And frustrating because the materials that you have may be useless.
Well, I download the drivers for clients all the time, but I always have the model number. So
you are doing it all the time, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's corrected it by just updating the drivers often for our clients. So that might be the simple solution here for you, Steve.
Okay.
But why they wouldn't?
I'm gonna try.
Yeah. Why they wouldn't tell you that right off the bat is bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe they do want me to buy another printer.
Yeah.
And I'll buy another printer because I have lots of labels that I got to use.
Well, that's a problem that they may not work, that they might need to buy new materials, too, because...
No, I think the labels are all the same.
Good.
Anyways, what I'm seeing, so...
Good, good, good. Well, let's see if you can get you a new... If you end up getting the right model number, we can try to find the actual driver for you. But just look for a Windows 10 driver for that particular thermal printer and try to apply that.
So,
and then maybe enable Java, too. Go ahead, Bob.
If they're software, if you don't have a driver, if your printer, label printer, your Zebra label printer is too old and it's not supported anymore, they don't have a driver for it, you can download a driver for it from Seagull Scientific.
Okay.
And that's a generic driver of some kind?
No, actually, that's more specific. They make a specific driver for FedEx and a specific driver for UPS.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay, so we'll put the link up there for Seagull Scientific, too, as maybe a workaround.
I don't have that link without the model number.
Without the model number, that's right.
I can give you a generic that'll explain what the problem is.
All right, we'll do that.
Very good.
All right, good luck, Steve.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. It is a very common issue with the Windows 10 updates that we've been doing for our clients, that there's always some old legacy something that doesn't work.
I had one yesterday. Client had a old LaserJet 4 Plus.
Whoa.
So that's very old. It was back when they made them like a truck. Still prints like great. The problem is no Windows 10 driver, but I was able to find a Windows 8.1 driver that worked.
Oh, good.
So.
Yeah, 8.1 is very similar to 10. Wow, they must have appreciated that.
I don't think so.
They didn't appreciate the magic of your solution. Thanks, Bob. All set. See ya. All right, let's move on to John in Rocky Hill. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I got a question more for you to comment on.
All right.
A couple years ago, I have three computers in the house, and they're networked.
Mm-hmm.
And they were networked originally as a home group.
Yeah.
And everything was working fine, and at one point, some of the computers wouldn't find certain things on the network. And you guys told me to just map the network drives, and that worked great, and it's still working.
Okay.
The other day, Windows did its latest features update on Windows 10, and it got rid of the home group, but everything's still working.
Good.
So I'm just curious if you could talk about like networking versus home group versus the direct mapping, because I didn't run the network setup utility on here. I just mapped the drives. And everything's working fine. So I don't have an issue. It's just I was curious when I saw that update, and it said home group has been eliminated.
Yes.
It did change some network settings around passwords and stuff like that, which had to go refix.
Isn't that great of them? I mean, it's working. They decide, no home group for you. Go spend some time to reconfigure your whole network just to make something work again. Thanks, Microsoft.
Yeah.
So Microsoft came out with home groups, and it was kind of like a home version of a domain.
Yep.
So you would create a security. You created a home group key, which you would use on each one of the computers in your home network.
Right.
Okay.
To secure your network. So it created a boundary, if you will, so that other people would have more of a difficult time hacking into your network.
Right.
The problem is most people didn't use it. Most people didn't understand it. Most people wouldn't print or save that key that they got because they wanted to do it in a hurry.
Right.
Yep.
And consequently, Microsoft had more problems with it than, it was worth. So they discontinued it.
Okay.
So the answer to your question is mapping the drives is the way to go because you have no choice with the home group anymore.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it works great.
Yeah, but it is when these companies deprecate their software and their configurations and their system, those who did try to use the tool that they offered are impacted.
Yes.
And it is frustrating, and I hope that answers your question, though, from Bob.
Yeah, I just didn't quite understand the difference between home group and, I guess, what I'd call just a regular network in the house.
Well, it was like a home group, then you had a public group. I mean,
that
you could discern the differences between the types of networks that you're trying to configure. There's a home style, there's a work group style, and they're just differentiators, they're delimiters between the type of security they're offering. So,
okay.
More of a label. All right, John?
Great. Thanks for the scoop. Appreciate your show.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, thank you for calling. I want to thank everybody for calling on this lovely Saturday morning. Stick around. Dr. Lessie's up next. He's getting ready. He's in the green room getting ready to help you out and give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live today over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you follow us on Facebook, if you like Tab Computer Systems, anything we posted will get into your news feed. And if you use Twitter, I've not figured it out. Bob, you don't use it. I don't understand Twitter, frankly. But if you have time for Twitter and you follow us at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get into your newsfeed. I mean, there's so many of these social networks out there that if you did them all, you wouldn't have a life. I mean, you wouldn't be able to live your life to be... I just don't understand how people do it. Yeah, like Joey said, they're all virtual digital friends. Thank you, Joey, for producing.
See you next week.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.